Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, August 30th. I'm Ray Graff. Time for another one of our regular baking sessions with Chef Gail Sokol. Chef Gail is an educator, author, podcaster, and popular YouTuber. And today, she turns her attention toward Basque cheesecake. What's a Basque cheesecake? Well, you got me swinging. Gail says it's all the rage right now and the creamiest cheesecake I will ever eat. Now, a reminder, this is not a political show. So if you're a Basque separatist, don't call unless you like the cheesecake. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Chef Gail Sokol, cheesecake. We'll see you after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and today we welcome back our pal, Chef Gail Sokol. Gail is a chef, an educator, an author. She was a faculty member for years at Schenectady Community College and the Sage Colleges in Troy. She's the author of a widely used textbook entitled About Professional Baking and a cookbook, Baking with Success. She has a lovely podcast called Baking Radio and is the star of so many baking how-to videos on YouTube, your head will literally explode. That's how many there are. The number to call if you have a baking question is 800-348-2551. Gail has a specific topic, which we will discuss, but as we get rolling, any kind of baking question, feel free. 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Gail Sokol, how are you doing?
Hey, good. Happy end of summer, beginning of summer, rainy summer.
Wow.
I don't want it to
seem
end.
A little vague about
I know,
that.
Well.
Hey, how was your summer?
It was fabulous. We went to Long Island just a few weeks ago, and I met an idol of mine.
Really?
A very famous chef.
James Beard.
Close.
No.
I have this man's cookbook, Francois Payard. He is a legend. He is amazing. And little did I know when I made this reservation at this little restaurant called Southhold Social in Southhold, New York, it was owned by him. And I walk in, it's nice, they sit us in the corner, behind me I'm hearing, in the
sacre
French
bleu.
Accent. And I said, wait a minute, hold the phone, I think it could be him.
No way.
So I turned around, oh my God, it was him. He was talking to people. He was socializing. And some people didn't care, you know, who he was.
Right.
They just wanted to eat. But this group of people, and I looked, and my husband said, be cool, be a lady,
exactly.
Be a lady. And I just turned around and I went, come here.
Oh, my
come
gosh.
Here.
That's not too smooth, Chef Sokol.
And he said, you know, my husband's like, this is beneath you. Calm down. And I said, come here. And when he was done, he came over. And I said, bonjour. Oh, I am so in love with you. I love you. You're my idol. And he went, oh, would you like to take a picture? And I said, yes. I said to my husband, get out the damn phone.
Oh,
let's
man.
Go.
Wow.
And then he took me into the kitchen and he showed me. He was brought up as a pastry chef.
Yeah.
His father and grandfather owned a pastry in Nice, France. So I go into the kitchen with him and he's showing me the meringues and this and that. And he said, you know what? I do a lot of cooking now instead of pastry, because this is his restaurant. This is all he's doing. He's giving his full attention to this. And at the end of the meal, guess what they had on the menu? A Basque cheesecake. And
oh,
I said
really?
To my husband, guess what you're getting? A Basque cheesecake. Only disappointment was mine's better.
Oh, did you tell the chef that?
No. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah,
no.
I prefer the Basque cheesecake myself. I gotta
Basque,
say.
I think it's Basque. Basque,
you
Basque.
Say Basque,
I
say
know.
Basque, Basque. Basque,
Basque,
let's
Basque.
Call the whole thing. All right, so right. Anyway, this is
exciting. This is,
so you met a French guy.
Oh my goodness, not just any French guy.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You're a famous French chef, all right, I forgot the guy's name.
Francois Payard.
Right, that guy. You're all over the world.
Yes.
How the heck do you end up on Long Island?
You know what? We wanted.
I mean, we love Long Island.
We wanted a simple vacation.
No, I know how you got there.
So,
you took the LIE.
So what are you asking?
How did he get there?
You know what? He was in Manhattan. He used to work for Daniel Boulard and all these famous chefs, and Eric Repair, La Bernardin, all these famous restaurants. And he decided to sort of hang out in Long Island, probably to relax.
Yeah.
And I assume he enjoys Long Island. He opened up a restaurant there, and it was hopping. The whole night was hopping. And I thought this was his, you know, several gigs that he had.
Yeah.
This is it.
Oh, so he's like in retirement, semi-retirement?
I think so.
Interesting.
I think so. So I thought this was cool.
Now, you and Dr. Harold stayed several. Did you stay at the Comac Motor Inn? That's
no,
one of the nicest places on
that
Long
was
Island.
Booked.
Oh, really? It's wonderful. You know, the number here is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 if you want to talk about French people or maybe even baking. We could do that as well. VoxPop@WAMC.org. That's the email address. So you got the, I'll say it your way, Bosque
cheesecake.
Tell me about this.
So this cheesecake, when I first saw a picture of it, and it's all the rage. Everyone's making them. I saw it on YouTube. I saw it in a magazine. And I went, oh, no, I'm never making this. It looks black on the top. It's wrapped in parchment paper.
Yeah.
There's no crust. Who doesn't like a cheesecake crust, right?
Well, I like the graham crackers especially.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can do other things for the crust. So this is crustless.
Okay.
It's baked. Most cheesecakes are baked either in a water bath. They take about an hour. You know, it's a pain in the neck. This bakes in 30 minutes at 450 degrees.
That's pretty hot.
It's hot, hotter than my mother's oven. Hot. And I'll tell you, you wrap your parchment, your springform pan, you put parchment paper inside and grease it.
Yeah.
It has the most incredibly creamy, creamy, creamy filling. It has 2.25 pounds of cream cheese.
Good heavens.
A pint of heavy cream.
Yikes.
6 eggs and a yolk. Rich and a yolk. Very, very rich, and just a little bit of vanilla, and you got yourself the, I mean it. I tried it, and I said, I'm never going to like this.
I'm going to need a stent after I have a taste of this.
You might.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is a 10-inch cheesecake meant to be savored in small slices, and I didn't make any topping. I didn't make a cherry topping or a strawberry.
Yeah, why didn't you do that?
Because I wanted you to get the full, you know, the full gestalt of this beautiful cheesecake. And look how beautiful it is.
I love it.
And
I love to look at it.
I love to look at it, too.
But yours is not blackened on the top.
No,
it's
well,
kind of a lovely
it's
caramel brown.
And that's the key. That's why they do that. The blackened on the surface is supposed to taste slightly caramelized.
Uh-huh.
And it does that in 30 minutes. You take it out, and it's very shimmery. Meaning it's shaky. It's not fully set yet.
Yeah.
You cool it at room temperature, pop it in your refrigerator overnight. The best cheesecake I've ever had in my life. And I actually did not expect to love it. Just tried it and went, oh.
Why did you not expect to love it?
Because it looks burnt. It looks like it's sort of, you know, saggy brown around the sides. And I thought, it's not a most gorgeous looking cheesecake, but it is certainly the most tasty cheesecake.
I think it's impressive looking cheese. You're
going
to cut it right
now?
By the way, the number here is 800-348-2551 if you want to quiz Chef Sokol.
Look at the way, and it cuts so beautifully.
Oh, it's creamy. Yeah.
It's creamier than
that's a
cow's
that's a big
milk.
Piece, though. How am I going to eat
it's
that during the show?
It's not a big piece. Oh, come on.
Come on. You know I'm delicate.
Put your big boy panties on
all
and
right,
give it a
all
shot.
Right, fine, Chef
all
Gail
right,
Sokol.
I'm going to give you a fork.
Yeah, that looks beautiful. Are you going to have some?
I'm going to tell you, no, I've had my share of Bosque cheesecake, but I am going to tell you what makes the creamiest cheesecake.
Did you bring whipped cream for the top?
You don't need it.
My wife
it's
says you
got
to have whipped cream on the top.
Oh, no. That would be sacrilegious.
Really?
Try it.
Well, good. I'll tell her
go
she's
ahead.
A heretic.
Go ahead.
A,
no,
right,
it's,
here we go.
I want to get, tell me it's not the creamiest thing you ever ate in your life.
Except for cream. No, but this is amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
It's great.
It's got, and the reason
oh, wow.
it's so creamy is the way you mix the cheesecake. Remember, cheesecakes are custards. They're oven-made custards.
Hold that thought, because
yes.
I think I sense you're going to be on a roll about how we make this. So
yes.
it might take longer than a minute before the
perhaps.
Break. You know, you are right. It does not need topping.
It
I
does
think,
not.
I think strawberries or cherries might
well,
be too
you
much
could.
For
it's
this.
It's gilding it might, the lily, though,
yeah,
right?
I think you don't even
yeah,
need that.
You don't.
All right, Chef, so far, You're not lying, but I will catch you. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Chef Gail Sokol. Basque or Bosque cheesecake. And whatever baking question you have, voxpop@wamc.org is the email address. We'll be back. Gone way too soon, a master of the guitar there, Danny Gatton on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our number, 800-348-2551. Gail Sokol is here. Chef Gail is talking about Basque cheesecake today on the program. Gotta say, had a few more bites during the break. Spectacular.
Right?
So light. You know, it's even better than Sara Lee.
I won't even talk about
it. I love that.
That
cheesecake.
I don't think I've ever had that.
You never go into the your grocer's freezer and get the.
I will not. Oh,
you're such an elitist.
Oh, please.
No wonder you're glad handing with French chefs and you know. Come on. No, this is great. And so, tell me how you make this. Well, before we get to the phones, tell me how this is made. Give me your process.
Have you ever made a cheesecake?
Do you really have to ask me that question?
No.
Okay.
No.
Then you better start at the beginning.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. I know what I'm dealing
with. Exactly.
All right. So the first thing you have to do is get all your ingredients at room temperature.
Why?
Cream cheese. Because it won't melt. It won't mix in with the sugar.
Why can't you get whipped cream cheese?
Because it's got too much air in it, and it's actually not going to be the consistency and the texture that you want.
Right.
This is not a New York cheesecake, which is like rock solid cement, dense.
Yeah.
That's why you need the fruit topping to sort of break it up a little.
Yeah.
This is like, it looks dense, but once you put it in your mouth, it's like, oh, no, this is not dense.
That is exactly my observation.
Creamy.
I was kind of scared when you brought it in. I said, that is a brick.
Right. You could hit someone over the head with a New York style cheesecake. This wouldn't kill a flea.
No.
But they would enjoy it. So the first thing you do is keep your cream cheese at room temperature. If it's not room temperature, and you can tell when you squeeze it a little bit, indentations stay in it. Put it in the microwave, not more than maybe 5 seconds aside. Flip it over. I do that on high power. 5 seconds, no more. Microwaves are notorious for melting butter when you only want it softened and melting things when you don't want to melt it.
Okay, now, you're the expert on cooking, but I know tech really well.
Okay.
So what you can do is you can turn the power down on your microwave.
I know, but then sometimes it can take forever. 5 seconds is a bit, just 5 seconds.
All right,
yes, you can turn your power to half.
So stipulated.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, yes.
Next.
So then, once you do that, you get all your cream cheese into your electric mixer. Very important to have an electric mixer with a paddle attachment. You don't want the whip attachment. We'll whip too much air into it. So paddle attachment.
Paddle attachment.
You add sugar into there.
How much?
In this particular case, it was like 1 2/3 cups of granulated sugar.
It doesn't seem like that much. This has a good sweetness to it.
It does, but it's because there's a little caramelization on top, and it doesn't really need that much sweetness.
No, it's beautiful.
So you get that going on medium-high speed, and you keep going and going. And then you have your trusty rubber spatula. I bet you have one of those at home.
Well, yes, but we don't use it for food.
Oh.
I kill flies with it. No, it's true.
I believe you, actually.
Hey.
So anyway, clean it, dry it, and use it for your cheesecake. You stop the machine, scrape down the sides so there's no bumps or lumps of the cheese, of the cream cheese.
Yeah.
Keep doing that for a few minutes until you get everything in there, and crack your eggs in a pitcher or a liquid measuring cup. So when you pour it in, you make sure there's no shell, nothing funny looking in your eggs. 6 eggs and 1 yolk. And then you put 1 egg in at a time on low speed. Why are you laughing? Come on.
I don't want to seem like a Luddite in the kitchen and ignorant of these things, but how do you separate the yolk? Don't look at me that way.
You don't know how to separate an egg?
No.
You mean from the white and
yeah,
the,
no. How
Mrs.
Do you do
Graff
that?
Has never done that?
Oh,
or she's never showed you.
She does, but I don't watch.
All right.
The game's on.
So you crack it gently. I usually crack it gently on my countertop or near my sink. And then some people do it against a bowl, like a glass bowl. And then have two sources of receptacles ready, one for the white, one for the yolk. The first thing that's going to come out of the egg is, guess what? Which part?
The white.
You got it.
Really? Why?
Because
it was
it's just a
50-50 guess. Well,
it was the most liquidy. It's the most fluid.
Okay.
It's going to come out first. Separate your eggs when they're cold because there's a little surface tension. So they won't just like ooze all over the place. They'll sort of have a little like, oh, I got a heads up. It's coming. And then you get your bowl ready. And then I go back and forth in my fingers. I make like a sieve with my fingers, separate them slowly, and just sort of shimmy shake the yolk, and all the white will come out. So that's in one bowl.
Could you use a strainer for this?
Come on. You don't need a strainer.
I mean, could you? If you don't want to get the gook all over your hands.
Yeah, but then you got to wash your sieve. Who wants to do that?
You
got to
wash your hands. You got to wash something.
Big deal. You got to wash your hands anyway.
And then put the yolk in.
No, we're not. And then put the yolk in the other bowl.
Okay.
You're such a fuss budget today.
Wow. Ouch. Oh, boy. Continue, please. Continue.
Okay, so you add your eggs. Keep adding your eggs. And I forgot to say, when I added my sugar, I whisked in about 3 tablespoons of cornstarch.
Okay.
No more smirking.
I'm not.
The cornstarch is helping to thicken everything. It will get, you know, make the perfect consistency in that cheesecake. You can use flour. I use cornstarch because you don't have to worry about gluten and things like that. And it's crust-free. So those people that don't want gluten, there's no gluten. So you do that. Get the sugar with the cornstarch in there. Get that all beautiful and smooth. After your eggs are done, then, and only then, do you slowly add 2 cups of heavy cream, all right?
Okay.
And 2 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract.
It's like $90 a bottle now.
I know. You use
it wisely. How much did this cheesecake cost?
It's worth it. That's all I have to say.
It's public radio, so you can write it off.
You can use store-bought brands if you would like.
All right.
But I will tell you, you know, it will come out just as well no matter what brand you use. Mm-hmm. Just don't use the whipped cream cheese.
10-4.
10-4. And it is, you bake it at 450.
Which is more than a usual cheesecake?
Yes. Most cheesecakes will bake at 350.
Oh, okay.
325
so
for
it's
like an hour.
To 125 degrees hotter.
It's hot as the door to hell. It's very hot. And then you put it in only for 30 minutes. Who doesn't have 30 minutes in their day? It's not an hour, and there's no messy, you know, hot water bath, you know, bain-marie. So
Sorry, what?
Bain-marie is like a warm water bath.
You have to do that with the other kind of
cheesecake?
Yes,
sometimes you do.
Oh, and so I did not that, know that.
You take a large roasting pan or a larger oven-proof pan, and you put your springform pan and you line it with heavy duty foil because sometimes springform pans, they have that false bottom.
Right.
Things can ooze out
and
ooze in.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to cover that with heavy duty foil, put that into that extra large pan, and then I boil some water in my tea kettle and I pour in up to half up the side, not on this cheesecake, on regular cheesecakes.
Okay.
And that will even out the temperature so your eggs don't curdle in your batter. We don't need that.
That's amazing.
Because the heavy cream is going to keep everything beautiful and silky and fluid.
Yeah.
30 minutes, you take it out, it's still wiggle wobbly, and it's going to be dark brown on top. If it's not dark enough, you know what I do? You know what I do? Ask me what I do. I put it under the broiler for like a minute just to get a really nice dark top. And then I pull it out and let it sit until it cools down.
Do you need to refrigerate this after the...
Once it cools down, yes, but you don't want to put it hot into your refrigerator.
Yeah.
Then you put it, cool it down overnight, chill it overnight, and it's just like this. I made this yesterday. It's perfect.
I got to say, Gail, you've never failed on this program. You always bring something fabulous, and everyone looks forward to it in the entire building.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay, we were discussing this yesterday. Oh, let's take a call, because you know what? I'll bring up this other topic about cheesecake in a moment. But first, Diane is in upstate New York. Diane, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice to meet you guys. I like the description of the Basque cheesecake, which I haven't made, but I've had at other friends' houses. My question is about something called a gâteau basque, which I've made numerous times once I discovered it. It's a little complicated, but it's delicious. But it's very perplexing when different recipes have different methods, and they're all from reliable sources. So one method says reverse cream the ingredients. Another one says just cream the butter straight with sugar. And that one says use a cake pan. And I've been using a springform pan, and I just don't understand why it's saying use a cake pan when it seems logical to use a springform pan because it comes out much easier.
Yes, some people like to use cake pans for cheesecakes, why? And I worked in a restaurant that sort of demanded that I did that, and I was like, because you know why? They didn't want to splurge for a springform pan. That basically was it for that restaurant. But some people will use a cake pan if there's a crust. Now, Craig Claiborne, who was a very famous chef and I think a New York Times food critic years and years ago, he had a famous cheesecake recipe that was with a crust, but he would dump the cheesecake out, so it's upside down, then put the crust on top.
Oh.
And then flip
over like
again.
An upside down cake.
Yeah, so a lot of some people do that. Why look for trouble? Because it could crack, it could break. I'm not sure why certain recipes will ask for a cake pan, but they do, and you just have to make sure you line your pan very well with parchment. What is exactly your question?
No, it was really why the Gâteau Basque chefs, the French chefs, use a regular cake pan as opposed to a springform pan.
I'm not sure, but I have come across that many, many times, and they may just be using what is available in their particular restaurants, and maybe springform pans is something that's more Americanized. I'm not sure.
Diane, I'll tell you this. The link to the video of this preparation and the recipe are on the Vox Pop page for today. And
my website if you want to look
sure,
at it.
Sure, there's a link there, too.
Yep.
Gail has healthy self-esteem, so I don't need to pump her up here, but this cake is amazing. So I recommend you give that recipe a try, and thank you for the call. Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551 is the number, 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Cheesecake today, or really any baking question you have for Chef Gail Sokol. She joins us every couple of months, and she's a lot of fun most of the time. John, who's a friend of mine. Remember I mentioned the Sara Lee cakes, and you were quite aghast?
Uh-oh.
As a CIA grad and instructor for 20 years, I'll back you up on the Sara Lee cheesecake 100%. You see?
Oh.
You mocketh me.
Thank you.
You see?
Thank you.
Our number is 800-348-2551, and it's cheesecake today or anything else. All right, so I brought this up before we went to the phones. In the front office, everybody's excited. Gail's bringing cheesecake. And then Dina or somebody said, Japanese cheesecake. And I said, I've not heard of this.
Yeah.
What's a Japanese cheesecake?
All right, so I had to find out what this was about, too.
Yeah.
So I did a video a few weeks ago on Japanese cheesecake.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Okay.
So people can go to my website, chefgailsokol.com.
Yep.
That's my website. They can also go to YouTube and look up Chef Gail Sokol and look up my Japanese cheesecake. All Japanese right. cheesecake is like if a sponge cake and a cheesecake had a baby.
Oh.
That's exactly what it tastes like. So it's very spongy cheesecake, has very little cream cheese in it. So for 2.25 pounds to maybe this type of cheesecake, the Boss cheesecake or any regular cheesecake has a lot of cream cheese in it. This has only half a pound.
And then there's a sponge layer as well.
There's a sponge. So there's a lot of a meringue involved, egg whites. You're beating and then you're folding in the egg white meringue into this cheese base, this cream cheese base with the yolks. And I thought, this is going to be delightful. No. Eh.
Really?
Eh. It's like eating cotton balls.
But okay? I love cotton balls.
Well, then you will love
it. No, here's the thing.
It's very light and fluffy, too fluffy for a cheesecake.
I'm trying to picture this. I assume the cheese layer has to be beneath the sponge layer or it would crush it.
No, they're together. I told you, it's as if a cheesecake and a sponge cake had a baby. They're together, Ray.
They're mixed up.
They're
all
mixed
the DNA
together.
Is mixed up.
All the DNA is mixed up.
Huh.
And the mutant baby is this cheesecake, this Japanese cheesecake. And it's light and fluffy, and everyone loves light and fluffy.
Yeah.
It's just too light and fluffy. I don't think it should be called a cheesecake.
All right, so Japanese just, cheesecake is a mutant baby, just to reiterate what you said.
I will stand by those words.
Ouch. Chef Gail Sokol is our guest today. She likes the Basque cheesecake. Japanese cheesecake, nah, she's on the fence. Jenny writes in, cheesecake question, cream cheese quantity and the exact type of cream cheese. How much? You said
I used
6 pounds, right?
No, I used 2 1/4.
2 1/4 pounds.
2 1/4, so that's 4 8-ounce packages and a half of another one.
Does it matter
I don't
what
know.
Brand?
No, it doesn't matter what brand. Use whatever you want. Do not use farmer's cheese. That's more, that's Neuchâtel. That you don't want that. You don't want low-fat cream cheese.
Right.
Although, if you wanted to do this low-fat, you probably could substitute 1 pound for the lighter, you know, the 1/3 less fat.
This doesn't need to be any lighter or this is perfect.
No, it's perfect. And have a sliver and have the full freight, you know, have the full amount, the full actual cream cheese.
But although some cream cheese can be a little bit more dense than others, even though it's not
whipped. I have never, you know, encountered any weird heavy cream cheeses. All I would say is, use a name brand.
You got Philadelphia,
brand.
You got Breakstone.
Exactly.
I tell you, we found one from a Vermont. I think it's Cabot. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Cabot.
Fantastic stuff.
Yeah,
really
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Chef Gail Sokol's our guest today. It's baking. She brought a Basque cheesecake. So if you got a cheesecake question, even a Japanese cheesecake question, she did a video on her YouTube page about it. So she must sort of like it. Let's go to Hudson. Jeanette, you're on.
Hi there. I'm very excited to try this recipe. I missed the detail about the parchment paper.
Okay.
Can you walk us through how you do that, please?
Absolutely. So because this cheesecake is crustless, you do need to ensure that it comes out of the pan. And that's where parchment comes in handy. So, and if you watch my video, I explained that I sprayed my 10-inch diameter springform pan with nonstick cooking spray. You could use butter, you could use oil, whatever you like to use as your liquid fat, or even butter would work. Then I take a piece of parchment paper that will go at probably about 2 inches high above the pan, because this cake will rise. This cheesecake rises to the top and a little bit above the springform pan, and then it will sink a little bit. It will sink a little bit like the surface of Mars, but then, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So once you get one, Jeanette, you have one sheet of parchment in there and push it down so it sticks to the bottom and sides. Then spray again on top of that parchment and put another one crisscross to it and make sure each area around. Sometimes I need 3 pieces of parchment. And then make sure they stick and they're sort of pulled, you know, pushed away from the center, the top, because it will come above. And then when you pour your batter in, just be careful and make sure you remove that top rack in your oven so that this cheesecake is, you know, is taking up like half your oven. And then let it rise.
Right.
Do not open the oven or anything, and it should be perfect. And it comes out so easily. The parchment paper is the key to getting it out of the actual pan and everything very easily. I mean, it's peeling. I'm peeling it off. It peels easier than a banana.
Wow.
It really does.
That's very easy.
Gosh. Yeah.
That's
You've got to try it, Jeanette. You've got to.
Go ahead, Jeanette.
I'm going to. Can I ask one quick question again about this? So I'm assuming, because I mean, I use parchment paper literally every day, probably like most people, but I'd imagine you just want to cut. Sometimes it's, you know, you cut it right to size.
This is like a rustic. So you don't care if it's, you want it 2 inches above the springform. So you're not making a collar like you're making a souffle.
Yeah.
This goes, you know, mine looks, you know, really sort of, you know, we're going, you know, like we're out in the country eating this cheesecake and there's parchment peeling off the sides.
Yeah.
No, it's rustic looking. It's not going to look perfect. And this is exactly the way it should look.
Huh.
So don't worry about that. Just,
I understand.
You know.
I understand that part. I mean, like, when it's a roll of parchment, like, you know, hundreds of feet.
So,
and you're cutting it.
I just ripped mine, so go off. You can cut it if you want to. Just measure. Put, you know, before you grease your pan, do a few pieces pre-greasing so you can actually push them into the pan and see how far up they stick. And if it's too high up, just cut less.
All right, Jeanette.
Got it. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. Jeanette. Let me ask you about parchment paper.
Yes.
Who invented it?
I don't know.
I mean, what is it? You put paper
it's
in an oven,
silicone.
It's going to burn.
No, okay. Wax paper, gonna burn.
That's so funny because I was sent out for parchment paper once and brought wax paper back and I was castigated verily.
Yeah, with yes.
Extreme prejudice.
As you should have been.
So what's the difference?
Parchment is silicone. It won't burn.
So
I mean, you can see it got browner on the edges, but it won't burn.
It's a relatively new invention,
No, it's been around for years.
When was silicone invented?
Silipat mats. Have you ever heard of those? Those were made in France, and those are like silicone. They're a little more durable. You can wash them and reuse them. Parchment paper is one and done.
Silicone's a chemical. This couldn't
it's
go
like
back
a,
six, 700
like rubbery,
years.
No.
This is fairly new.
Yes. This is not in the days of the Neanderthal. This is like, you know, it's relative.
Why do you look at me that way when you say Neanderthal? We're taking a break. She's taking a shot at me, Zach, and I'm sick of it. Chef Gail Sokol's our guest. It's baking today, 800-348-2551. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Food Friday. Thank you, Internet. We're learning all about parchment paper now during the break. Chef Gail Sokol's our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. And by the way, as we discuss the Basque cheesecake, you can go to our website, WAMC.org. Today's Food Friday page has a link to Gail making it on a YouTube video and the recipe. So you could follow along if you wish. Elizabeth writes in. Bess, I'm sorry, from Albany. Looked up your recipe on my phone and found pink peppercorns as an ingredient, too.
Yes.
Also, online does not include the bain-marie. Who's she?
Right. So, Bess, I was describing how a regular cheesecake would be made. There is no bain-marie, a warm water bath. For you, Ray.
Yeah.
Warm water bath is not used in the Basque cheesecake. And you did, in fact, see a pink peppercorn because I did add ground up pink peppercorns. And I did not include them today. But pink peppercorns have like a lighter, almost a citrusy flavor. So I added them just to be a little, you know, add a little je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
You don't have to. So I did not for today's. And it's awesome.
It is awesome.
But I just did it to be a little bit, you know, different. You know, off the beaten path.
The pink peppercorn.
Unique,
I've never seen one. I've never tasted one.
No, they look pink. You have probably had them if you've ever had like a ground up pepper, like a mixed peppercorn mix blend.
Yeah.
They'll have, you know, green, red, white, black. And the black is probably the sharpest.
They all have different tastes.
They all have different tastes.
I'll be darned. Yep. Chef Gail Sokol is our guest today. I learned so much. What did we learn about parchment paper?
We learned that it actually started happening and beginning to use in the 1800s.
Wow.
And the Egyptians used parchment, but not for baking.
Right.
They used it to write on.
Proclamations and whatnot.
Yeah, hieroglyphics and all that. I mean, if you wanted to line if you could find a springform pan back then and line it, you'd have hieroglyphics on your cheesecake.
Well, maybe someone made raw cheesecake back then. I mean, you never know.
I bet they did.
All right, let's see. Claudia writes in from Hudson. I like to bake with part oat flour, which I grind from organic rolled oats. Can't get cookies to rise consistently, though. I think I need some chemical fizzy help. Maybe more baking soda, some milk, some yogurt. Help, says Claudia in Hudson.
Okay, so Claudia, oat flour is not going to make cookies rise. You need a leavening agent. Okay, you are correct. Like baking powder, baking soda. It depends on your recipe.
Yeah.
But you cannot rely on just oat flour unless you're making something like a granola. Then you would not need a chemical leavener. But here, you would. So I would recommend baking powder. You would not need an acid to add, you know, like a sour cream or buttermilk or something like that. But try using a recipe first that you might like. Substitute some of the flour for oat flour. See how that comes out, but use you will need chemical leaveners.
So there is no crust on this. This is gluten-free, right?
This is gluten-free, and it's got just a little corn starch inside with the sugar that I just blended in. No lumps or bumps, and you just have that just help with the consistency of it, the structure of it.
Well, I don't want to give you a swell head, but that might be the best cheesecake
I've
ever had. I'm not kidding.
I'm telling you, you look at it and you go, hell no, I'm not even going to make it. I'm not going to try. Then you try it and you're like, it's like you just changed religions, okay? It's you just saw like heaven. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Too many pieces and I'll see heaven,
well,
all right.
Oh, yeah, you just might.
Chef Gail Sokol is our guest. Okay, this is from... signed paddleless. Loving the show. I know this seems crazy in this day and age to not have a paddle attachment for my mixer. I have a very old mixer. But is it okay to mix the cheesecake by hand? Or will it not be creamy enough? And should I only use an electric mixer with a paddle attachment?
Okay. So, yes, you can do this without a paddle attachment to your mixer.
Yeah.
It may not be that creamy, but use a whisk. So hand whisk, you're going to get a little too much air.
Yeah.
But just squeezing it or, you know, like mushing it with a spoon is not going to get the consistency that you would with a paddle
attachment.
But
a spoon would seem to be, I mean, on the face of it, at least to me, closer to a paddle than a whisker.
Have you ever made mashed potatoes? They always have a few lumps. Forget it. And I mean, this is not going to work without a paddle attachment. But if he really is desperate... you can use a whisk and a large bowl, and you better have muscles because you're going to be beating the heck out of this thing. And you may introduce a lot of air. When you introduce a lot of air, it may fall, may raise high and fall more.
Right.
Because you're introducing air. So you got to be careful, but you really don't want lumps. Now, I have to tell you.
Okay.
And I hope he's not listening. Chef Payard. In
I
South
think it's a
Hope
fair
Social.
Bet, Chef
okay,
Payard's
well,
not listening.
Well, we ordered his boss cheesecake for dessert, and he had something very interesting. He had individual ones. They were like 6 inches four inches in diameter.
C'est bon.
Came with the parchment.
Yeah.
And I tried it, and it had lumps.
Oh my gosh!
OMG! I was like,
OMG!
This has lumps. No, I said, mine's better. My husband said, yours is a lot better.
All right,
than this.
So.
But we kept our voices down.
Well, that's not like you. I mean, you're aggressive enough to call the famous French chef.
Hey,
get over here.
No. Frenchie, and you know what? No, remember what he said to me, Ray.
What?
He said he wasn't doing all the baking. It's possible he had a pastry chef making this, and the guy didn't let. Two things. He either didn't have his cream cheese at room temperature, so it was clumpy, or he overbaked it. That was my guess. He overbaked it, and it curdled the eggs and got a little clump, clump, clump. You know, like clumpy, like cottage cheesy inside.
Yeah, delicious.
Almost like it was made with ricotta. And I was like, sacre bleu, what is
this?
Oh,
very nice.
Did not taste great.
You should have told the chef.
I would never do that.
You know, why?
Because you have to be polite when you're eating in his restaurant.
As you're ready to leave, right?
Well, my dessert was scrumptious. It was chocolate, like a pâté, almost like a moussey pâté that is shaped in a loaf. And it had hazelnuts on it and like a crunch layer. Oh, my God, like a feuilletine, like a... It was just crunchy and creamy.
That sounds
and
great.
I said to my husband, you can keep your boss cheesecake because it was not ideal.
It almost sounds like worth the 5-hour drive to Greenport
LIE. It made my day. It made my day.
Fantastic. Chef Gail Sokol is our guest. She is an educator, author, baker deluxe, and we are baking today on the show. Cheesecake or any other baking question you have, 800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org. Before I get back to the email back, you said something very interesting. And I've seen this on this show. Believe it or not, as you well know, I don't know that much about cooking, but I've hosted a lot of
really,
these.
Really?
I know. Many chefs kind of sketchy about baking. It's a separate thing.
Yes. I have worked with chefs that were incredible. Give them a piece of meat, they can do whatever you want. They are crazy. Okay. There's something about chefs and meat, but a lot of people will be like, baking, I don't do that. Oh, no, no, no. Like you said, a dirty word. And I'm like, why? They don't want to be on point with the measurements. They don't like it.
Following it exactly.
Yeah.
So interesting.
It's crazy. And it's like, why are you so scared of baking? There's nothing to be scared of.
All right, but can you cook? Can you cook a piece of meat?
Damn straight I can.
This is public radio. You don't say that unless it's
darn straight.
This American Life or something. Ellen writes in, can you half the recipe and bake two small cheesecakes and how long to bake?
Yes, you can. This is a 10-inch cheesecake, so you would probably, 30 minutes is very, very low. I would check it maybe after 20 minutes, but it depends on how deep your cheesecake pan is, your springform pan. If it's still, let's say, 4 inches in diameter or 2 6-inch diameter ones, it may need to bake just as long because it's still just as deep, in proportion to the smaller size. The sides are still high.
Okay. Todd writes in, when you're going to getting your comeuppance now.
Uh-oh.
Parchment paper is not made from silicone! Exclamation point. It is made from cellulose and other natural fibers. That's according to Todd.
Okay. All right.
You seem skeptical.
But I don't, well, we'll
you're,
see.
You're going right yeah, to your yeah, phone, yeah. aren't you? Listen, I got 7 minutes to go. You better not do that. 800-348-2551 is our number. How's the YouTube channel going?
It's going great. We just did brioche. Little brioche rolls.
Oh, I love those.
With the top knots on them. You know, real authentic brioche. You can actually make it in a loaf, but these brioche are so cute, and they can be served for brunch, breakfast. You could actually whack off the top and serve it with some scrambled eggs or smoked salmon inside. Yeah. Or chicken salad, egg salad, whatever. So good.
I'm all
so
about
good.
The brioche.
Yes.
I like brioche hamburger rolls a lot.
It is one of the richest doughs, yeast doughs you can make next to challah.
What's different about it?
It's got a lot of eggs in it. And it's got butter.
You
put softened butter in the dough. So it looks like have you ever, made a pizza dough or something?
No.
And it sort of slap it around. It still looks like a flat dough, pasty looking dough. This looks silky because it's got egg yolks in it. The egg yolks make it really brown a lot.
Mm.
And then you egg wash the outside, gives it that golden brown burnished look. That's what you want in a brioche.
Very interesting. Now, if you had that recipe, and I assume it's somewhere on your website.
Yes.
And it's, your website is again?
It's chefgailsokol.com.
Right.
And go to YouTube to actually see how it's done. And that's Chef Gail Sokol on YouTube.
Do you own one of those bread machines?
I do.
Okay.
It was given to me as a gift years ago. I don't know where it is.
Okay.
Haven't used it in years.
You're so elitist.
Years and years.
Now, assuming that Mrs. Graff might have a bread machine.
Yes.
If you took that recipe for the brioche,
yes.
which sounds fantastic,
yes.
could you do it in a bread machine?
You probably could.
Yeah?
You probably could and just make it in one loaf. Yeah,
and
you probably could.
Okay, now I'm on in high gear, which is a shame because the show's almost over. They have paddles. In the bread machine, there's paddles, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you do the cheesecake mixing right in the bread machine?
In a bread machine?
You don't have to. Turn the heat on.
What's wrong with you?
What do you mean?
No. These are two different animals, Ray.
No, those mixers are very expensive. A lot of people, and they're huge. A lot of people don't have room for that.
But you know what? It will last the rest of your life, your children's life, and your grandchildren's life. These mixers never die. They're absolutely phenomenal.
Okay. Let's go to Sunderland, Massachusetts. Susan, you're on with Chef Gail Sokol. Hello.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi. I just called in to say that I was making biscuits the other night, made a mistake, added too much milk, and I figured out how to recover from it without having to throw it all out.
Excellent.
So I'm a fearless baker. I put in too much milk. So I just baked it like a pan of brownies instead of going through all the folding and the cutting and the biscuit making. I just threw it in a pan and baked it, and it was still delicious.
Okay, excellent. Then the other thing you could have done is added a little more flour to make up for the too much liquid.
Yeah, but it was 10 o'clock and I was like exhausted.
Yeah, I hear you.
Which is why I made the mistake. But here's my questions, Shale. In this recipe, they have you cut the butter into half inch squares and then put it in the fridge until you're ready to mix it in with your flour and dry ingredients. Why is that?
Okay.
Because it made it super fluffy.
Yes. Biscuits, right? Okay. So,
and I wondered why you have to put it, but why it has to be, the butter has to be so cold.
Okay. So this is my mantra, and it should become yours too, Susan. The colder the butter, the flakier the biscuit. And that also applies to pie dough. So the colder the butter, those little pieces, you don't mix them in, you cut them in until they're like pea-sized pieces. And that's because in the oven, you're going to have little bits of fat that are going to melt, because biscuits and pie crusts are baked at a slightly higher temperature. And when they melt, they form spaces. In that space, steam forms, and any moisture from your milk will form in there and actually create leavening, because steam is a very powerful leavener. So the butter is not just for flavor. It also helps help the layers above and below those spaces rise. So it puffs them up and creates flaky layers. And that's why you do the cutting in.
Yeah, they were the best biscuits I ever made.
Wow.
Yeah,
so good for you.
Keep chilling that butter. That's the way to go.
Well, thank you, Susan.
Well, I just wanted to ask you also, Chef Gail, if you have read the book Lessons in Chemistry.
Yes, I have. And I've actually met Shirley Kerher when my book was nominated for an award way back in the day. Yeah, I met her. She is awesome. She's another role model. Yeah, I love her. She's like a food chemist. She's fabulous. And a nice lady,
yeah,
too.
All right. Well, Susan, have a great weekend.
Good.
We're about out of time here, but thank you very much. Chef Gail Sokol, what's coming up? What's on your shooting schedule coming up?
All right. Well, this weekend we are making the fudgiest, very simple, fudgiest brownies ever.
Okay.
Fudgiest brownies ever. In a 9-inch pan, like something quick. You know, like that little black dress? You want something? You want to pull it out of your closet?
Not
quick?
Not really, no.
Well, I don't know what you do.
Well,
in
listen, it would have to be a little bigger than a little dress. Let me tell you.
I could see you in some heels.
Really?
Anyway, this is just a very simple, and it's got a special ingredient in it. It's got yogurt in it.
No
in
way.
In the brownie.
Oh, come
yes,
on. That's
in
ridiculous.
The brownie.
Now you've gone too far.
No.
Now I'm cutting you off.
No. Oh, stop. No. Give it a try.
All right.
It's got a beautiful ganache frosting on it, and then I'm also going to be making a cast iron peach streusel, almost like a cobbler.
Oh.
So I'm going to be making that with some vanilla ice cream. That's going to be amazing.
Now, the nomenclature here, streusel. Immediately my German heritage kicked in.
Yeah.
But what's the difference between that and other Kuchen?
Well, Kuchen is just a cake that's covered in some sort of fruit. Does not have to have a streusel.
Is it like a buckle?
It can be, but buckles are different. Buckles are where there's like batter. And it's put over fruit. We had a fruit dessert. You did learn nothing, mister.
I learned things,
nothing.
But they go away very quickly.
What I'm saying is a streusel is basically some flour, some sugar, some butter, and you mix it in with your fingers till it gets like clumpy. And then you sprinkle it over the fruit and it bakes and it turns like almost like crunchy, almost like a Sara Lee crumb cake. That I bet you know.
Well, you know what? I'm telling you, I brought up the Sara Lee cheesecakes and I stand by it. It's delicious.
Okay.
And my friend at the Culinary Institute agrees.
Okay. Okay. I thought he was agreeing that he loved my Basque cheesecake.
He loves your Basque cheesecake.
Yeah, of course.
He's never even had it.
I know. Well, but he loves Basque cheesecake. I don't doubt Sara Lee makes a good cheesecake.
Yeah. No, she's great.
I know.
I've met her many
sure.
times.
Oh,
she's
bet.
Very nice.
I bet.
All right. So, Gail Sokol, once again, your website is where?
It is chefgailsokol.com. And my YouTube videos, which I have almost 500.
500?
Chef Gail Sokol on YouTube.
All right. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
How long does it take to make one, average?
It depends on what it is. If it's the brioche, for instance, basically there's some downtime, so we had to chill the dough overnight, but it took less than 20 minutes to mix the dough.
No, I'm
downtime.
To actually shoot them. If you've done 500.
It depends on how long something has to bake.
Right.
So, and I don't make one baked ahead of time. This is in real time. So
it usually takes
2 or 3 hours.
Oh,
we
you're
edit
Kamala
after,
Harris.
But if I make a mistake, I had to do a cake over 2 weeks ago because I said something wrong, and I'm a perfectionist, Ray.
Do you swear at all? Do they bleep it out?
Occasionally I have known to swear on air.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, so far you've been very good and the show's over. Gail, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Support comes from Sapbush Hollow Farm Seasonal Cafe in Schoharie County. serving local foods 50 minutes from Albany. Open Saturdays 9 to 2 through November. sapbushfarmstore.com/cafe. And the Inn at Saratoga, 1843 Lodging House, restaurant and tavern with live music, four nights per week in downtown Saratoga. The Inn at saratoga.com for details. Well, there it is. We've gotten through another week. It's good stuff. Thanks to Chef Gail Sokol. Thanks to you for calling and for listening and for emailing. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to Barb King, who screened the calls. No show on Monday. Have a safe, lovely weekend. Don't drink and drive. Have a good holiday. We'll be back Tuesday at 2 for the Boyd Show. We'll see you then.